Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Taylor Bickett. Taylor Bickett is a Nashville-based singer-songwriter who recently released the single The Crime. Bickett based the song on a traumatic event in her life, which we discuss on this episode of the show, and that ultimately led her to donating proceeds from the single to the organization The Circle, a charity founded by singer Annie Lennox, which is dedicated to preventing violence against women. We talk about that and more on this episode of Into Music, coming up now. If you can, give us a little bit of background on this tune.
Yeah, so The Crime I released about a month, or I guess it's like a little over a month ago now, but it actually was inspired by an event that happened to me about a year and a half ago. I was on a walk in my neighborhood in Nashville, and there was a man who pulled up next to me in a car, tried to hit on me, started trying to talk to me, and I just, you know, like kind of had that like red flag of don't engage. So I kept walking, tried to just ignore him, and I thought, you know, 99.9% of the time they drive away, and this was the 0.1% where I kept walking. I ended up turning a corner and I heard something behind me. I turned around. He is driving towards me and hits me with his car. And I it's like one of those things that's like the worst case scenario that you never really actually expect to happen. I was like all a blur, but I somehow ended up behind the car and I'm staring at him. He's staring at me. Thankfully, he wasn't going fast enough where he could like really seriously injure me. Like I did have some like pretty gnarly bruising down my side, and just like the trauma, the fear of it was the most significant thing. But I like had this moment where I made eye contact with this man and I was like, this is such bad news. Like, I don't know what his plans are, but I have to get out of here. So I like took off running. I ended up calling the police. Like I think at the time I didn't realize really how serious it was. And I was so worried that I was going to be overreacting, because I was like, well, I'm fine, you know, nothing's broken. And I had was sort of like almost laughing it off. Like, I think that was like my little trauma response, was just to be like, it's fine. Ha, got hit by a car. It happens, you know? And then the officer, I remember, like kind of looked at me seriously and was like, you do realize this was aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Like, this is very serious. Like, this is a crime. This is a felony. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess you're right. Like, I could have died. And that kind of like really sat with me. And I think, you know, I've been hit on, I've been catcalled. Like, I spent a lot of time in New York. You can't walk in New York without getting catcalled. Like, but you just don't expect anything to come of it. And most of the time, ignoring someone is the right thing to do. And this was the one instance where I think no matter what I had done, it wouldn't have been right. Clearly this was an insane person, but it really brought me face to face with like my vulnerability and the fear and the threat of violence that all women live under. And I spoke to like my friends and my family, and I don't think I know a single woman who hasn't felt that fear. You know, you're walking to your car late at night and you're like gripping your keys. And I got like pepper spray in my Christmas stocking one year. Like, it's just like, that's like ingrained in us. We're raised to be fearful of that. It really unsettled me. And I felt like I couldn't not write about that, because that's like the way that I process emotions. The way that I really process everything is by writing. And so when I started writing this song, it was very much like a cathartic experience. And then, I never really thought it would go farther than that. It was mostly for me. And then I started sharing it with friends and family, and people kind of impressed on me that it is a really important thing to share. I think it talks about something that a lot of times we just take for granted. I think women have learn to just expect the threat of violence in our lives. We're just like, it's par for the course, and it actually shouldn't be. And we need to be talking about it. I think you need to talk about uncomfortable things in order to have any sort of change, or just like open conversation, open dialogue. And so I did decide to release it. And obviously it's like a very vulnerable, emotional process, but I'm really glad I did because I think it has impacted a lot of people that have messaged me or commented. And we did decide to partner with a charity for the song is called The Circle. And so they support women like across the world with they like work with grassroots organizations to particularly help women in vulnerable communities who are at the most risk of violence. And so we're donating a portion of the proceeds from the song to them. And that really helped me feel like I could make something good out of something so terrible. Yeah, so I ended up putting out the song, and I've gotten messages of people saying that it like inspired them to come out with their stories of things that happened to them. And I'm like, this is why I did it, and this is worth it. But it's a heavy thing to put out there for sure.
Just in practical terms, you know, you contacted the police. Did they find this guy?
No. That was mostly due to the lack of information. I was so shocked and overwhelmed by everything that I wasn't able to remember the license plate, the make, the model. All I knew was that it was a white sedan and a white guy. And I was like, I don't know. He could have been bald. He could have just had really light hair. Like, it was all such a blur in my mind. And unfortunately, it was like in the it was an, in a back road. So there weren't it was behind houses. So like there weren't like ring cameras like if it had been on a front road. And so it kind of just went away, which is a bummer, obviously. And I really hope that this man is not out there like continuing to do harmful things. But I think it was sort of impossible to find someone with such little criteria. And, I never saw the car again. So it leads me to believe he didn't live in the area. But it is a bit unsettling to know that they did never find he never saw any consequences.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most terrifying things about things like this is one, you're in, you know, in that state we talked about mentally and emotionally where it's just like you can't possibly process everything. And then it's so random that it's like, oh yeah, wait a second, let me just write everything down.
It's this like it's not like I think a lot of times violence against women is typically perpetrated by someone that they know, like a partner or a family member. And so this like yeah sort of random senseless act, it really like takes you off guard. You're like, you don't even know me, and you felt the need to hurt me, maybe kill me because I didn't look at you, I didn't smile at you. Like, that's just obviously someone who's not right. But unfortunately, like, that is a because you never know, I guess, as a woman, you never know if the guy catcalling you is just kind of a creep or like an actual psycho, like and so you always have to be on alert. You have to prepare for the worst, unfortunately.
So you mentioned writing the song to, you know, express this and everything else. Obviously, at some point there's like some anger, if not a lot of anger, probably that comes up. How do you kind of process that? How do you work through that?
I think the song helped a lot. And the song isn't like fully angry the whole time. I think it really oscillates between this deep like sorrow for our world and this like anger at this person. But I feel like there's a line in the song. It's one of the first lines, and it says, "Who did what to you to then do that to me?" Because I think it's so common that people who perpetrate violence have experienced violence or have been abused. That's very common, and it doesn't excuse behavior at all. But I think it helped me to wrap my head around like I have no idea what sort of messed up things happened to this person to cause him to do something terrible to me. I think it's easier. It might be easier to just say, "Oh, he's a horrible person. He's a villain." But I think like it's more healing to understand that there's a lot of context that goes into that kind of thing. And someone asked me before, like, did it make you like hate all men? And I was like, no, not at all. Like, I have so many wonderful men in my life, and I don't think that what this man did is a representation of all men, but it is something that all women experience.
So you were able to channel that, write the song, turn this into something where people will ultimately benefit from your experience. But that's just kind of one part of the process of moving on, right?
It's definitely, it hasn't been linear. I think I still hold a lot of fear and nervousness in public spaces or being approached by a man in any capacity, honestly. If there's a man speaks to me in public that I don't know, I'm immediately like right back to that moment. And I think that will ease with time. It's one of those things that I think does It does take a while, or maybe you never quite, maybe you always have that in the back of your mind, that fear. It's unfortunate, but it also is your body trying to protect you.
Now that this is kind of, out in the world, and you said that you've had feedback from people and everything, that has to be the, and I think you touched on this, that has to, there has to be some sort of satisfaction with that in a way, right? Like, this is helping somebody else.
To know that it has helped people. Even like one person, it would make me feel better. It just make me feel like I'm adding good into the world where this person took it out, I guess. And I enjoy the conversation that has been started, like in a lot of my videos, the comment sections or just messages I've gotten, people like thinking critically. I've even like had men reach out and be like, wow, I did not fully understand. I think this helped me re understand what my female friends, my female family members go through in a way that I hadn't before. And I think that's really important too, because while it has been a solace for a lot of women, I think it's not a conversation just for women. It can't be, in fact. Like that's the whole point, is that we have to all be talking about this and realize that it's an issue, you know? So I think, yeah, it definitely, there is a satisfaction and there's just like a comfort in knowing that it's helping people.
You've been listening to a conversation with Taylor Bickett. Taylor Bickett's latest single, The Crime, is out now. There's also a video that accompanied that that you can find on YouTube. And you can learn more about Taylor Bickett at the official website, taylorbickett.com. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson. You can send us questions and comments at info@kmuw.org, and you can find all the latest programming notes on our website, kmuw.org, as well. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next time.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money podcast from NPR.